It's week 8 of the college football season. We already did the midweek games. We already did the biggest games. Now we got to talk about 15 more games.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in. Winning cures everything. It's College Football Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials. And yes, we've already done the midweek games. We did 10 of those. We did 10 of the biggest games of the season, or of the week, excuse me. Now, instead of doing a 20 more, because we already did midweek games, let's do 15 more. I'm going to hit them quick. We're going to be fast. Let's go ahead and get to it. Game number one, UTSA travels to North Texas, in-state rivalry game. Used to be a Conference USA rivalry, now it's an American Athletic Conference. North Texas got absolutely blasted last week. They're looking to bounce back. North Texas, a 4.5 to 5 point home favorite, total of 68 on this one. And that number has gone up, actually. Opened at 67.5. North Texas minus 5.5, that has dropped back down. UTSA opened up a can last week. I believe it was on Rice, if I'm not mistaken. Just scored just no mercy on that bunch. Their offense really got rolling. If you look, UTSA is 3-3 against the spread now. North Texas 4-2. North Texas 5-1 straight up. UTSA 3-3 straight up. So this is the spot for UTSA to get back into this thing. They lost to Temple a couple of weeks ago. And it is what it is, right? The offense still has the capability of doing big things. The defense has certainly played a lot better than anybody expected. I know that much. My numbers have got North Texas by 4.31, at least with the stats projected spread. Power rating, I've got North Texas by 3. But the last 4 weeks, UTSA has certainly turned it on. I've got UTSA by 20 based on the last 4 weeks of stats. Some of these numbers are still cooking in week one, week two, week three, whatever, when North Texas was just beating the absolute brakes off of teams. It has come back down to earth just a little bit. Obviously, last week kind of gave you an idea because North Texas got really humbled, was a good word for it, by South Florida. North Texas number 121 in current strength of schedule, UTSA number 77. So a little bit tougher quality of opponent for UTSA than what North Texas has played. But let's look at the numbers. UTSA number 49 in PPA margin. North Texas number 43. UTSA number 98 in offensive success rate. And they are not good at running the football. And here's the thing. That's strength on strength because North Texas pretty good at defending the pass, not good at defending the rush. Who's going to step up there? On the other side, when North Texas has the ball, number 23 in offensive success rate, they're number 29 with the pass, number 27 with the run. UTSA is number 18 in defensive success rate, number 39 against the pass, number 12 against the rush. Let's start when UTSA has the ball on offense. They scored at will last week. They are number 30 in passing success rate, number 9 in passing explosiveness. Well, North Texas's defense is pretty good at defending those. The one thing that UTSA is really bad at is number 127 in havoc rate allowed. Well, North Texas is only number 117 in havoc rate. So UTSA should feel okay about this right now. UTSA running the football, number 29 in PPA per rush, number 21 in rushing, yards per rush. When North Texas is number 106, number 72 in those. Rushing success rate, UTSA is only number 94, but they are number 2 in rushing explosiveness. That's kind of a problem because North Texas is number 96 in rushing success rate allowed and number 81 in rushing explosiveness. UTSA can generate explosive plays here when UTSA is on defense. North Texas is great on offense. They really are, especially against weaker competition. UTSA is a significantly more talented team than North Texas, number 68 in overall talent rank per on three. North Texas is number 92 and on three overall talent. North Texas is number 33 in PPA per pass, number 47 in yards per pass attempt, number 31 in QBR. UTSA's defense, number 77 in PPA allowed per pass, number 112 in yards allowed per attempt, number 122 in QBR. If North Texas wants to take advantage of this team, it's got to be through the air. Because running the ball, UTSA's defense is number 12 in rushing success allowed. They are number 18 in offensive line yards allowed, number 15 in stuff rate. That's where they'd be able to take the most advantage of them. As far as points per scoring opportunity, if UTSA gets down there, they'll be able to score because North Texas is number 87 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. UTSA's offense is number 45. On the other side, North Texas is number 17 in points per scoring opportunity. UTSA's defense is number 118. Both of these teams will be able to score. I know my stats projected total is lower, but I would expect an over here, especially looking at pace of play. North Texas is number 15 in pace. Maybe my number is lower because of the pace of play for UTSA, the number 82. I thought it was higher than that. Anyway, five factors rank is pretty much a wash. Number 49 versus number 60, but when you include talent, UTSA is number 63, North Texas is number 67. This feels like too many points. UTSA gets up for this game. Best number we can get out there right now is 5. Give me the Roadrunners. Meet, baby, plus 5. 11:45 a.m. Central Time on the SEC Network. We've got Oklahoma traveling to Williams-Brice Stadium, South Carolina. It is Cocktober. Everybody be wary. Oklahoma is a 5.5-point road favorite. That is up from the original 4.5. We got a total of 43 on this one. And looking at the numbers, my last 4 weeks has got Oklahoma favored by 13. My power rating only has Oklahoma by 4, but the stats projected spread has got Oklahoma by 7.5. So I can understand why the number has gone up some, along with the fact that South Carolina's offense has been absolutely abysmal. Number 119 in offensive success rate. They're number 128 passing the ball, number 118 running the ball. And the defense has just kind of been, number 79 in defensive success rate. They're 94th against pass, number 64 against the rush. Oklahoma, number 1 in the country in defensive success rate allowed. Number 1 against the pass, number 1 against the rush. That is something to pay attention to. And they're number 32 current strength of schedule. So that is highly impressive. Number 2 in PPA allowed per drive on defense. South Carolina is number 12 in current strength of schedule. Looking at records, South Carolina's 3-3, Oklahoma 5-1. Oklahoma did just lose last week in Red River, so that is something to think about, especially considering the fact that John Mateer played, didn't look great, kind of making some bad decisions, and on top of that, the interceptions looked like there wasn't a whole lot of zip on the ball. They said he's fine. We'll see. We will see. South Carolina is number 8 in the country in turnover margin. Oklahoma's number 130. Oklahoma's number 99 in giveaways per game, and they are dreadful at taking the ball away. Number 133 in takeaways per game. South Carolina is number 10 in takeaways, number 39 in giveaways. But South Carolina is third from last in the country in penalties per game. Number 134. Oklahoma's number 50. That's a pretty big difference there. Oklahoma number 5 in special teams efficiency. South Carolina number 20. Both teams inside the top 18 as far as overall talent rank, but this South Carolina offense is kind of a joke. You know, they're number 20 in yards per pass attempt, number 45 in QBR, but they're number 128 in passing success rate, number 86 in PPA per pass. That ain't good, especially against this Oklahoma defense. Oklahoma is going to be mad, but Oklahoma also hosts Ole Miss next week. I think you're at a point in the schedule where you cannot afford to overlook anybody. South Carolina lost to LSU on the road last week. I don't feel good about Mateer. And this number has gone up. Again, it's 5.5. It opened at 4.5. How can you bet against South Carolina at home? I don't think I would feel good about doing that. So I'm not going to have an official play on this. But as far as, on this show, we give out picks. You guys know how we do. I'm going to give a side on every one of them, which way I would lean. I kind of like South Carolina here. I don't like all the red. I don't like all the numbers. But also don't necessarily trust Oklahoma. Especially with the banged up John Mateer. Because he is the entire offense. So, yeah, 5.5. Give me the Gamecocks. Plus 5.5. Game number 3, 11 a.m. Central Time on ABC. We got Vanderbilt hosting LSU. And Vandy is a 2.5-point home favorite. Total of 49 on this one. Number shocked me. Probably shouldn't have because, like, I know what the ratings are. You could have seen this coming. I've got Vandy power rated 0.5 better. The stats projections have Vandy by 4.82. And if you look at the last 4 weeks of numbers, it's got Vandy by 10. This LSU offense is not good. That might be putting it mildly, really. Like, they are terrible running the football. They can at least throw it a little bit. They're number 21 in pass rate, so they throw the ball over 56% of the time. They're number 27 in passing success rate, so Vandy is number 70 in that on defense. But yards per pass attempt, LSU is number 89. Vandy's defense is number 52. And PPA per pass, that's predicted points added per pass, LSU is number 56. Vandy is number 108. Vandy is good at defending the run. How much is LSU going to run? Like, can you just go with an empty set most of the time? I mean, Garrett Nussmeier would be running for his life at that point, but, I mean, we'll see. Five factors ranked. Vanderbilt is still one of the most efficient teams in the country, number 5 in the country in five factors rank. LSU is number 13. Crazy. Vanderbilt number 7 in first half point margin. LSU is number 110. LSU has not played well to start games, so that is something to pay attention to, especially considering the fact that Vanderbilt is coming off of a bye. On the other side, it is strength on strength. Vanderbilt number 2 in the country in offensive success rate. They're number 1 passing the ball, number 7 rushing the ball. LSU is number 30 in defensive success rate, number 25 against the pass, number 45 against the rush. LSU is, let's see, Vanderbilt is going to want to run the football. They run the ball 51% of the time. They're number 7 in rushing success, like I mentioned, number 12 in offensive line yards, number 31 in stuff rate. They are number 3 in yards per rush. LSU's defense, number 20 in yards allowed per rush, number 45 in rushing success allowed, number 23 in rushing explosiveness allowed, number 54 in offensive line yards allowed, and number 78 in stuff rate. So that part's not good. Throwing the football, Vandy's pretty good at that too. Number 8 in PPA per pass, LSU's defense number 20. This, you look at this and you immediately think, well, I mean, you got to go with LSU. They're so much more talented, right? And LSU is number 5 in on 3's overall talent rank. Vandy is only number 59. But you start diving into position groups, and, you know, there's a few spots here and there that it's like, okay, you know, Vandy's offensive line is number 30. Well, LSU's defensive line is number 6. I still kind of like Vandy's offensive line. Vandy's defensive line is 48th. Well, LSU's offensive line is 17, but they can't run the ball. I mean, they're number 115 in yards per rush, number 114 in rushing success, 129 in offensive line yards. Like, I don't understand it. Both of these teams are outside the top 85 in penalties per game. Both of them, I mean, they're top 50 in turnover margin. LSU is number 81 in giveaways per game. Vanderbilt is number 39 in giveaways per game. And that's mainly just because they were handing out cupcakes against Alabama, basically. I look at this and I think that the better team is favored for a reason. And you look at the most recent stuff, maybe Vanderbilt should be favored by more. I don't like taking 2.5-point home favorites, but in this situation, I think it calls for it. Diego Pavia is an absolute dog, and no, he doesn't play well as a favorite. But when you're teetering around a pick 'em and Vandy's at home, Give me Vanderbilt here. 11 a.m. Central Time, God's time zone on ESPN. Georgia Tech is heading to Duke. Duke right now a 1.5-point home favorite, total of 61. The spread was Duke minus 2.5 when this thing opened. And everybody knows about Brent Key as an underdog. Georgia Tech plays so much better when they're a dog, etc. But does anybody find it interesting that Georgia Tech, who is this borderline top 10 AP-ranked team, is an underdog on the road at Duke? Anybody find that weird? I think the books are kind of hoping that you do. That's what I'm thinking. My stats projected spread has Duke minus 2.83. My power rating has Duke minus 3. The last 4 weeks, Duke minus 17.75. Yikes. As far as power rating goes, I've got Georgia Tech 34th. I've got Duke 35th. And yet one of these is considered a top 10 team, and the other is, well, number 45 in ESPN strength of record. There are a lot of things at play here. Georgia Tech is 6-0, 4-2 against the spread. Duke is 4-2 straight up. They've got losses at home to Illinois and on the road at Tulane. But they've kind of been putting on a clinic as far as their offense is concerned. Number 23 in PPA per drive on offense. Georgia Tech is number 64 PPA allowed per drive on defense. Georgia Tech number 32 PPA per drive on offense. Duke number 94 PPA allowed per drive. So Duke's defense is not great. But they are number 12 in Havoc. Georgia Tech number 18 in Havoc allowed. If Haynes King can throw the ball, they're going to be fine. Georgia Tech is number 25 in rush rate. They want to run the football 57%+ of the time. But that's what Duke is better at stopping. Number 20 in rushing success allowed. Well, Georgia Tech is number 20 in rushing success. Duke ain't great at stopping the pass. Number 97 in passing success allowed. Georgia Tech is number 13 in passing success rate, but they're number 113 in passing rate. They throw the ball around 42% of the time. On the other side, when Duke has the ball, they sling it, and they sling it a lot. They're 25th in pass rate. They're number 111 in rush rate, but they ought to be able to run against this Georgia Tech defense. This is such an interesting spot. You start looking at intangibles and whatnot, five factors rank. Duke, number 37 in five factors plus talent. Georgia Tech is number 49. Duke is a significantly better first-half team, number 18 in first-half point margin. Georgia Tech is number 59. And again, Duke has played a tougher strength of schedule. If I had to wager, I'd probably go Duke first-half, and that might be what I do over at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. But especially for this, this thing's dropped down to 1.5. I'll take the Blue Devils at home against the ranked team. I think they found a way to get this thing done. So give me Duke minus 1.5.
Are you tired of sore knees or joints slowing you down? Ghost Sleeves uses built-in kinesiology tape technology to give you support, reduce pain, and help you recover faster. Use code WCE for 15% off over at ghostsleeves.com.
The Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale is here. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, beefy burgers, cozy comfort meals, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code SAVEBIG when you shop omahasteaks.com today. Now is the time to load up on exceptional flavor and everyday convenience. From tailgating essentials to family favorites, the semi-annual sale is your chance to save big on everything you need to serve up fabulous fall flavor. USDA certified tender steaks, easy appetizers, and so much more. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop now at omahasteaks.com and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the semi-annual sale. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code SAVEBIG at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code SAVEBIG. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
And if you haven't already, remember, subscribe to the channel, like, the video, and of course, jump in the comments and let me know your picks on these games or any other games that we haven't discussed. I like talking to you. Don't forget, check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures, and that's where you can get all these stat sheets and whatnot. We got to go faster. Took a long time on those first four. These are supposed to be quick hitters. I love talking about college football. Y'all know how this works. Missouri goes to Auburn, 6:45 p.m. Central Time on the SEC Network. And, boy, Auburn has just been through it. Absolutely through it. They thought that they should, well, I don't know one way or the other. But I know this. They feel like there is a conspiracy afoot with these SEC officials. We'll see. Hopefully this game doesn't come down to a bad call. Missouri is a 1.5-point road favorite. Isn't that crazy? Missouri favored in Jordan-Hare at night? Boy, that feels weird. Total of 43.5 on this. It has shifted. It was Auburn minus 2.5. 44.5 was the total. That's come down a little bit. So now Missouri is your favorite. I've got Missouri favored by 8 based on the last 4 weeks of stats. I've got Auburn power rated 2.5 points better. My stats projected spread has Missouri favored by 2.32. So we're looking at a score around 28-25.5 in favor of Missouri as far as the stats projected spread. Auburn's offense cannot throw the football. I mean, at number 66 in pass rate, they throw it 48% of the time, but they are number 111 in yards per attempt. They are number 99 in QBR, number 125 in passing success rate, and number 114 in passing explosiveness. Missouri's defense is top 15 in all those. I mean, what do you expect them to do? Auburn can run the football a little bit. Number 26 in PPA per rush, number 53 in yards per rush. Missouri's defense is also really good at that. Missouri is number 7 in PPA margin, number 8 in offensive success rate, number 7 in defensive success rate. Like, this is just a pretty good Missouri team. They're number 106 in special teams efficiency, though. Auburn is 78, so there's a slight advantage there. Auburn number 11 in overall team talent, Missouri number 14. And when Missouri has the ball, they should be able to throw it a little bit on this Auburn defense. I do not expect them to be able to run it. And if they cannot run it, then you got to bank on Bo Pribula to be able to throw it without, you know, without turning the ball over, etc. I don't know how much I trust that. It's not that Auburn's good at takeaways. Both of these teams are number 106 in takeaways per game. Auburn is number 134 in penalties per game. Missouri is number 20 in penalties per game. Missouri had that Alabama game in their grasp last week and let it slip away. Auburn, I've got number 18 in five factors rank. Missouri, number 27. Missouri's strength of schedule is number 59, and that's after playing Alabama. Auburn is number 5. Auburn, at home, backs against the wall. They are 3-3. They are 2-3-1 against the spread. This is a big-time shot for this team. I have picked against them all year. I'm not going to do it here. Give me the Auburn Tigers. Now they're a home dog on a Saturday night in Jordan-Hare, and it's not to Georgia or Alabama or something like that. These are the kind of games that they come out and find a way to win. I fully expect them to do that here. Give me Auburn plus 1.5. 2:30 p.m. Central Time on CBS, Ohio State heads to Camp Randall. And what a disaster this Wisconsin football season has been. They're number 9 in current strength of schedule, so you would expect them to have a bad record. The 2-4 is not indicative of exactly how bad this team is. Oh my goodness. Number 114 in PPA margin. Ohio State is number 2 in that. Ohio State number 3 in ESPN strength of record. Wisconsin number 87. Wisconsin got beat by Iowa 37-0 last week. And if you can't score on Iowa, what makes anybody believe that you're going to be able to score on Ohio State? This number is Ohio State minus 25.5 all the way up to 27.5 and every number in between, depending on what book you try and get it at right now. The total is 41.5. That has come down from 42.5. I guess there is a part of me that understands why, because it's almost an auto bet, right? You have a really low total, lower than 45, and then you have an almost 4-touchdown spread. So you would be, I mean, any number could get you within 27.5. The issue that I have here is that Wisconsin is number 131 in the country in offensive points per game. 15.5 points per game. Again, if you cannot score on Iowa, even at home, how would you expect to score on this version of Ohio State? This Ohio State defense is incredible. Number one in defensive red zone conversion percentage. They are number three in points allowed per scoring opportunity, number five in points allowed per scoring opportunity, which Wisconsin's offense is number 134 in that, so they can't finish drives, and they're going up against a defense that doesn't like people to score on them. First half point margin, Ohio State just kind of plays with their food in the first half. Wisconsin says, okay, cool, play with us. Number 133 in first half point margin. Wisconsin gets shellacked in the first half. Five factors rank. I don't think I've ever seen a power conference discrepancy like this. Number three for Ohio State. Number 109 for Wisconsin in five factors. That's outrageous. Points per play margin. Ohio State number one. Wisconsin 123. And here's the crazy part. Wisconsin is number 32 in the country in overall talent rank. They got guys that got stars next to their name. But this coaching job by Luke Fickell has been atrocious. I feel like Ohio State could name their score. My power rating has Ohio State by 20. My stats projected spread has Ohio State by 26-ish. But my last 4 weeks has Ohio State by 42.6. Wisconsin is regressing. They're getting worse every week. And Ohio State appears to be getting better. Best number that I can get is 25.5. Give me the Buckeyes. I'll take Ohio State here. Even on the road, this team is a Goliath. And Wisconsin is less than David. Staying in the Big Ten, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Peacock. That's right, you need your streamer for this one. Indiana hosting Michigan State, who just got run out of their own stadium by UCLA last week. Indiana, a 26.5 to 27.5 point favorite, depending on the book. Total of 52.5 on this one. And let's look at what my numbers are currently. The last 4 weeks, I would only have Indiana favored by 15. But I have Indiana power rated by 20, almost 21. My stats projected spread has Indiana by 28.8. Now, 26.5 to 27.5. You start looking at some of these. One, there's not a good number out there for Michigan State. Number 105 in PPA margin. This team looks like a corpse at this point. I don't know how much fight is there. This is the perfect letdown spot if you're gambling. If you had a team on the opposite sideline that gave a rip, had any kind of pride about them, then you would absolutely bet against Indiana this week. Because this is they finally got their top five win. They went on the road to do it. They are the talk of the town. And I know that Kurt Cignetti is one of those coaches that will have his players' attention all week. I understand that. I mean, they were ripping teams last year. What do they talk about? Like, Coach Sig smokes them with no filters, basically. I mean, this dude is... Sig Vicious is a dude. He's an absolute dude. But this is a perfect letdown spot. But when you start looking at these numbers, number five in PPA margin against number 105, Indiana's offensive success rate is number three. Michigan State's is number 109. Michigan State's offensive success rate is number 84. Indiana's defensive success rate is number three. This is kind of a name your score special kind of thing. Special teams efficiency, Indiana's bigger in that. Michigan State has a talent advantage. You couldn't tell me. Like they may have more stars, at least when it comes to recruiting, but Indiana number one in five factors rank. Michigan State is number 85. Like, after watching this Michigan State team the last couple of weeks, I don't know how you could possibly bet on them. I can't see it. I don't understand it. Lowest number I can get is 26.5. I'll take the Hoosiers. Give me Indiana minus 26.5. Game number 8, we move to the ACC. SMU heads to Clemson. And this one, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on the ACC Network. Of course, God's time zone. Clemson, an 8.5 to 9.5 point favorite, depending on the book. Total of 55 on this one. And let's dive into some numbers. These teams are both outside the top 60 in ESPN's strength of record. SMU 4-2 straight up, but they are 0-5-1 against the spread. Clemson 3-3 straight up, 2-4 against the number this year. We expected so much more out of, honestly, both of these teams. Neither has exactly lived up to snuff thus far. Both around top 30 talent profiles as far as the on-3 overall talent rank. Let me go on and tell you exactly what my numbers have. Last 4 weeks, I would have Clemson favored by 2.55. My power rating has Clemson by 5. My stats projected spread has Clemson by 4. And, I mean, you start looking into it, and it's so interesting. Because you have to wonder, why is Clemson favored by this many? And it's because SMU has not covered a spread. At some point, they're going to cover a spread. Clemson is not that good of a football team. The teams that they have beaten are awful. And I'm talking bad, bad. Number 67 in current strength of schedule. SMU, number 104 in current strength of schedule. So the teams that they beat, they don't really care about playing. And the teams that they've lost to, and they don't quite get to that number. That's just the way it goes. They've lost to Baylor. They lost to TCU. And they were right there with Baylor. Like, they were right there. You look at some of these numbers, like SMU is number 21 in PPA margin. Clemson, number 53. Now, again, Clemson, slightly more difficult quality of competition that they have played. As far as success rate, number 49, offensive success rate for Clemson, number 57 for SMU. SMU, number 54 in offensive success rate. Clemson's defense is number 62. These are pretty evenly rated teams. Clemson, number 46 in five factors rank. SMU, number 57. Okay, Clemson is significantly worse in the second half. They're number 34 in first half point margin. SMU is number 30. Clemson is number 104 in second half point margin. And SMU is number 58. So, certainly something to pay attention to. SMU likes to throw the ball. They'll have more success doing that against Clemson than they would running it, because Clemson's defense is actually pretty good against the run. Clemson's offense, like I think they want to throw it. Like, they throw it almost 56% of the time. That's 24th pass rate in the country. SMU, I think, is okay at defending the pass. Number 31 in PPA per pass, but they're number 88 in yards allowed per pass. Clemson's offense isn't great at it. Number 80 and number 72 in those metrics. And when it comes to running the football, you know, Clemson number 35 in rushing success rate sounds nice, but they're number 116 in rushing explosiveness. They're number 92 in yards per rush. And SMU is good at defending the run. Number 21 PPA allowed per rush. Number 30 in yards allowed per rush. Number 41 rushing success rate. Yeah, this is such an interesting ball game. 9.5 feels crazy. And that's the best number we can get. SMU is going to cover somewhere. This is, of course, the rematch of last year's ACC championship game. SMU looking for revenge here. I don't think Clemson's that good. Also don't think SMU's that good. But I do think SMU remembers what happened in that game last year. I think they'll be fired up here. Give me SMU plus the points.
Are you looking to catch your favorite team or concert live? Ticket Smarter makes buying tickets safe and simple. And with our promo codes, you save big. Use WCE10 for $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 for $20 off $300 or more. Grab your tickets now at Ticket Smarter.
Again, if you haven't already subscribed to the channel, like the video, jump in the comments, and check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. That's where you can get these sheets along with a myriad of other things. So go ahead and check that out and support the one-man operation here. Game number 9, Texas A&M goes to Arkansas. That is the Bobby Petrino-led Arkansas Razorbacks. A&M is a 7.5-point road favorite, total of 62 on this one. Arkansas, current strength of schedule, number 3 in the country. A&M keeps going up a little bit, number 20, current strength of schedule. This A&M team's looking pretty good. Looking pretty good. Power rating, I've got A&M by a little less than 7 points. Stats projected spread, I've got A&M by 7.3. Stats based on the last 4 weeks, A&M is rolling. I would have them favored by 31, just based on stats from the last 4 weeks. Jeez. Okay, this A&M defense, number 33 in PPA allowed per drive, but they are number 10 in defensive success rate. That Notre Dame game appears to be well in the mirror. Arkansas also played Notre Dame. Notre Dame beat them like a drum. Now, we're not going to do the whole, my mind's going blank, where you compare teams playing against other teams and whatnot. We're not going to completely do that, but you did see a difference. Texas A&M beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame. Notre Dame went to Fayetteville and beat Arkansas to death. Like, poor Sam Pittman is still somewhere wandering on the sidelines trying to figure out what in the world happened. A&M is a good football team. And the crazy thing is they haven't exactly had to deal with getting beat up a whole lot or anything like that. Their offense is definitely good enough to put up some points on Arkansas. Like, a lot of points. Even this new version of the Arkansas defense. Arkansas's offense, probably going to put up some points, but they are number 68 in havoc allowed. Texas A&M's defense is number 10 in havoc created. That is something to pay attention to. Talon Green is a good quarterback, but when he's got people just bum-rushing him, he doesn't make the wisest decisions. I'll say that. Lots of fumbles for Arkansas this year. They're number 129 in fumbles lost per rush. A&M number 26 in fumbles gained per rush attempt. So you look at turnover margin, Arkansas number 120, A&M number 56. A&M doesn't turn it over that much. They don't do a lot of takeaways, but the things that Arkansas does as far as giving the ball away, A&M is pretty good at getting that. You look at five factors. A&M is number 12, Arkansas number 30. Both teams pretty good in the first half. A&M better in the second half significantly than Arkansas. Arkansas is number 105 in second half point margin. I think Petrino is going to have some stuff drawn up for Mike Elko. But I don't think they're going to be good enough to stay within 7.5 points. I mean, this line feels kind of crazy. A&M, I believe, is a significantly better team than Arkansas. So I will side on the last 4 weeks' numbers more so than that interim coach bump that, you know, Petrino almost pulled an upset last week in Knoxville. So give me Texas A&M -7.5 on the road here. Game number 10, and we go to the American for this one. 3 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2, Memphis goes to UAB, and that is top 25 ranked Memphis Tigers. They are a 21 to 21.5 point favorite, depending on the book, on the road. Total of 63.5 on this. I've got Memphis favored by 19. I've got Memphis power rated by 16 points better. In the last 4 weeks' numbers, I would have Memphis favored by about 14.5 here. But the number has gotten crazy. And it's gotten crazy, one, because Memphis is currently 6-0 against the spread. They have covered every number. They just keep on doing it. They are number 18 in the country in rush rate, and they continue to put up outrageous numbers. They are number 13 nationally in points per game, putting up 40 points per game. And they're number 17 in yards per rush, number 38 in yards per pass attempt. They are really, really good. Number 30 in PPA per drive. They are going to put up a ton of points on this UAB defense. The issue here is that Trent Dilfer got fired. That's UAB's former now coach. And what does that interim coach bump look like? What are we going to get here? I have no idea. Like we kind of thought the same thing with Arkansas last week. I thought Tennessee would come out and smoke them. And they certainly had the chance to in the second half. Arkansas put together some late drives. Got that thing back to within three. It was a lot tighter than maybe it should have been. UAB does not have the kind of players that Arkansas does. Arkansas still has a top 30 talent roster. UAB overall talent rank is number 109. You start looking at position groups, their offensive line is number 114. Memphis' defensive line is number 29. Memphis' offensive line is number 47. UAB's defensive line is 114. Memphis is going to run the ball all day. UAB may not have the ball very much. So UAB's offense, I do think that they could put up some points on Memphis' defense. But it may not be very much at all. Now, Memphis does have a huge game against South Florida next week. That is certainly something to pay attention to. But this is the kind of team, when you're running the football and you can run it on a team like this, you're not really looking ahead to anything. You're just trying to completely batter the person across from you, and that's what this Memphis attitude has been like with this football team. Memphis has covered every game so far this year. I'll take them to do it again. Like, I'm not betting on the interim coach for UAB. I'll tell you that. I don't think, even if you did get this bunch fired up, I don't think they're the same caliber as what Memphis has right now. So, best number I can get is 21. Give me the Memphis Tigers, minus 21 on the road at UAB. Game number 11, we move to the SEC and the SEC Network. 3:15 p.m. Central Time, the Mississippi State Bulldogs head down to Gainesville, Florida. They're going to take on the Gators and Coach Billy Napier. Florida, an 8.5 to 9.5 point home favorite, depending on the spot. Total of 51.5 on this one. 8.5 to 9.5? I mean, it's come down a little bit at some spots. But then I think there's also like a 10 out there that I just saw. Like, I wrote these down not that long ago. And I think I just saw a 10 pop. Florida got beat at A&M last week. Mississippi State got beat at A&M the week before. State coming off of a bye. State top five in special teams efficiency. Florida is top 20. Mississippi State number 21 in five factors rank. Florida number 31. Their talent profile is not all that different. Number 16 for Florida, number 24 Mississippi State. I understand that State lost their running back, Fluff Bothwell. But running back in this offense, how, you know, I would say how important, but I guess, and the Mississippi State is number 24. That Browse offense does rely on their running backs quite a bit. But you're telling me that there's not a single other running back that can generate some of the production that Fluff Bothwell did? I mean, he was a transfer in from South Alabama. He has been really, really good. But I mean, we're talking about, you know, my numbers have Florida stats projected, Florida by 2.6, power rating Florida by 4.8, and last 4 weeks, Florida by 6.33. Do we think that Fluff Bothwell is worth 4 points to the spread. I don't know if I buy that. I mean, maybe he really is. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Florida's defense is pretty good, right? They are number 22 in defensive success rate allowed. Mississippi State's offense is number 28. Florida's offense is number 74 in success rate. State's defense is number 42. But how did we get to those points, right? Florida's defense, really good at stopping the run. State is number 5 in rushing success. So Florida can defend what State does best, especially considering State has lost Fluff Bothwell. Florida's offense is number 74 in offensive success rate. Doesn't sound very good, except that they're number 35 in rushing success. And Jaden Ball, of course, does his thing. And State is number 42 in defensive success allowed, but they are number 72 in rushing success allowed. A lot of this stuff kind of lines up for Florida. And while I initially, if this thing was 10, I probably would have taken Mississippi State. But at 9.5, or 8.5, for purposes of the show, I will take Florida minus 8.5. I do not feel great about it. I've kind of talked myself out of, you know what, screw it. Trusting the power ratings, trusting the numbers, even without Fluff Bothwell, he's not worth 3 to 4 points to a spread. That's crazy. We're going Mississippi State. We're getting the best number we can right now, and that would be 9.5, at least from what I saw. Give me the Bulldogs. We'll come back and look at this later, and maybe I'll look completely foolish, or I might look like a genius. My gut said go with State. I'll go with State. We'll see if this is the last weekend Billy Napier's in Gainesville, right? Game number 12, we go to the Big Ten Network. 5:30 p.m. Central Time. Oregon travels all the way across the country after really getting humbled at home by Indiana last week. No shame in losing to a Kurt Cignetti team, but Oregon looking for something to snack on, looking to beat up somebody. I'll say that. Oregon currently a 17.5-point favorite at Rutgers this weekend. Total of 60.5 on this. That total has come up from 58.5 up to 60.5. My projected total is 62 on that one. My numbers, this one's 17.5 is the spread. My projected stat spread has Oregon by 16.3. My power rating only has Oregon by like 12, but my last 4 weeks' numbers have Oregon by 20. So we're pretty close. Oregon minus 15.5 was where it was when I created the sheet. It's all the way out to 17.5 now. Kind of crazy. Rutgers has been dealing with injuries all year. Their defense is atrocious, number 125 in defensive success rate. That will be a welcome sight for Dante Moore and company after last week. They were only able to put up 13 points offensively against Indiana. This week, I mean, you're going to be able to throw the ball all over the yard against Rutgers. Oregon, number 9 in QBR. Number 16 in yards per pass attempt, number 26 in PPA per pass. Rutgers defense, number 125 in PPA allowed per pass, number 110 in yards allowed per attempt, number 102 in QBR allowed, number 133 in passing success rate allowed. They are number 133 in passing explosiveness allowed, number 120 in havoc rate. This defense is awful, just awful. So you're going to be able to throw the ball on them. Oregon is going to be able to run the ball on them. And if there's any team that going to play in the East Coast or the West Coast or in the middle of the country and it doesn't affect them, it would be Oregon. They won at a friggin' whiteout and effectively got James Franklin fired from Penn State. You think going to Rutgers is going to worry that bunch at all? I don't. I understand the line move from 15.5 up because I think Dan Lanning is going to be pissed about what happened last week. And the players are going to take it out on the Scarlet Knights here. You don't have to think too hard about this one. Rutgers is going to be able to put up some points. Oregon will put up a lot more. Give me the Ducks, minus whatever the best number is you can get. For the show purposes, we'll say 17.5, but I will take Oregon here.
Why struggle doing everything yourself? On Fiverr, you can hire professionals for just about anything. Marketing, editing, design, and more. Save time, get it done right. Click the link in the description to get started.
Once again, subscribe to the channel, like the video, and jump in the comments. And of course, check out the link, bettingcfb.com or buymeacoffee.com/winningcures, and you too can support the show. All right, Washington State goes to Virginia, this one at 5:30 p.m. Central Time on the CW. Washington State put the fear of God into Ole Miss last week. That was also a look-ahead spot. Ole Miss got Georgia this weekend. And does Virginia kind of do the same thing? Yeah, I think you can only pull that off one time if you're Washington State. Washington State is still not a good football team. Yes, I know that they were right in it with Ole Miss. And sure, if you're a fan of that team, you got to be proud. If you're on that team, you got to be proud. That coaching staff, they were right there. One thing goes wrong for Ole Miss, and all of a sudden, that is one of the biggest upsets in the history of the sport. Virginia, not going to get caught looking past this bunch. Washington State put a scare into a top five team last week. All of a sudden, you've got Virginia's attention. And Virginia is still a significantly better team than Washington State. Washington State number 117 in PPA margin. Virginia number 35. Virginia's numbers, as far as predicted points added and success rate and all that kind of stuff, are actually better than Ole Miss's numbers. They hadn't played nearly as tough a strength of schedule. Number 79, current strength of schedule. But even still, this Virginia team has been pretty good. Chandler Morris, the quarterback, good stuff. He is going to be able to do whatever he wants to against this Washington State defense. Washington State, number 104, PPA allowed per pass. They are number 112 in PPA allowed per rush. Virginia is number 40 and number 10 offensively in those metrics. Rushing success rate allowed, Washington State's number 133. Passing success rate allowed, Washington State number 123. Virginia is top 45 in both of those. Again, they will be able to do whatever they want to. On the other side, this Washington State offense is still not good. Number 95 in overall success rate, number 115 passing, number 116 rushing. And while Virginia's defense isn't exactly anything to write home about, they're still better than Washington State. And this is the second straight, you know, game east of the Mississippi. We'll say that. And now they got to deal with this. Five factors rank Virginia as number 40. Washington State is number 116. It ain't pretty. I'll say that. Virginia favored by, 17.5 here? I've got them favored by 17.7. Power rating, Virginia by about 14. And my last 4 weeks' numbers have Virginia by 19.22. I think this is kind of a letdown spot for Washington State. And now it's got Virginia's attention. They're going to come out guns blazing. I would almost like a first-half play on Virginia. But because on this show we pick full game, we're going with the side. Let's go Virginia minus 17.5. Pitt goes to Syracuse, 6:30 p.m. Central Time on the ACC Network. Pitt is anywhere from a 10.5 up to an 11.5-point favorite. You can also get an 11 out there, total of 54.5 on this one. So the line has come down a little bit. My calculations on this are interesting. The last 4 weeks' numbers would have Syracuse favored by 5. My power rating only has Pitt by 3, 2.5-ish. Projected stat spread for the full season has Pitt by 6.15. And now Pitt is favored by 11.5. Now, part of this is the fact that Syracuse's quarterback, Steve Angeli, is out for the season. Torn Achilles, done for the year, etc. Pitt just went to Florida State, so this is certainly a letdown spot. There's also a discrepancy as far as current strength of schedule. Syracuse 19, Pitt has played the number 94 current strength of schedule. This is yet another road game. Before the win in Tallahassee, Pitt was 1-9 against the number in their last 10 road games. They don't do well in those spots. And here, they are a road favorite of anywhere from 10.5 to 11.5. Now, I kind of understand it because Syracuse cannot run the football, but they also don't try to run the football. And Pitt is really good at defending the run. They got great linebackers, by the way. Pitt's linebackers, they are number 22 linebacking corps in the country. Number 39 defensive line. Like they've got massive advantages over Syracuse. And now Pitt actually has people that can throw the football, which works out great for Cade Bell's offense. They're number 22 in PPA per pass. Syracuse's defense, number 114. Number 32 in QBR. Syracuse, number 88. Pitt throws the ball 56 plus percent of the time. And Syracuse is number 132 in pass rate defended, which means that opponents are throwing the ball on them 58% of the time. The reason that you would do that is because Syracuse has no chance of stopping it. So if we're expecting Pitt to just continue flinging it, and Pitt's defense stops the run and is pretty decent at stopping the pass, they're also great at havoc, number 18 in havoc rate. Syracuse number 125 in havoc allowed. If the quarterback is running for his life against this defense and the Pitt offense is slinging it around, I get why the line is bigger than maybe it should be. So with that said, I'm going to take another big road favorite, and I'm going to side with Nardog. Give me Pat Narduzzi. Pitt minus 10.5. Last game for us to discuss, and we're going to the ACC. This one's a late one, 9:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. The Florida State Seminoles, 3 straight ACC losses. They are 1-10 straight up against the ACC since they decided to sue the conference. Not good. Mike Norvell just hanging on by a thread. Just hanging on. And now they have to go out west, and they are a 17.5-point road favorite with a total of 53.5, anywhere from 17.5 up to 18 right now. No, the Stanford numbers do not look good. I understand that. Yes, the Florida State numbers do still look good. Much more so on offense, number 13 in offensive success rate. They're still number 3 in PPA per drive on offense. But they are number 109 in giveaways per game. And the defense is less than stellar. Do I think Stanford is any good? No. They're number 116 in PPA margin. Florida State is number 14. But when you start breaking it down, now remember, these are season-long stats, okay? So you see a lot of red for Stanford. You see a lot of green for Florida State. Florida State, number 11 in five factors rank, number 11 in five factors plus talent. Stanford is number 126 in raw five factors, but number 90 in five factors plus talent. There's not a huge talent discrepancy. Stanford, number 42. Florida State, number 20. My stats projected spread has Florida State by like 15. My power rating has Florida State by 15.6. My last 4 weeks numbers, and that includes the 3 straight losses for Florida State, it has Florida State favored by less than a point. Is this the spot where Florida State wakes up, comes out, reasserts their dominance, all that kind of mess? Or are they feeling bad for themselves? They go out to Stanford. They go out to Palo Alto. Yeah, it's a different time zone. Things feel weird. We're playing really late at night. Like, our body isn't used to being up this late. What's going on? Does Stanford kind of hang around? I think I might go with Stanford just kind of hanging around. Stanford was in a bad spot last week against SMU. Not so much this week. They're at home. I don't think you're going to have a lot of students at the game. But if you were ever going to get people from Stanford out for a game, it'd probably be against somebody like Florida State, especially when you think, like, hey, we got a shot. They've lost three in a row. So I'll trust the numbers here because I don't have a single number that gets you to 8.5 or 18 or 17.5. Stanford might surprise some people. I don't know that they'll beat them. Certainly don't think they will. God, could you imagine? That would absolutely end with Norvell gone. But we will take Stanford plus the 18 at home. I think it's just too many. So let's take Stanford plus 18 points in Palo Alto. All right, we went through 15 games. Let's recap them real quick. UTSA plus 5, South Carolina plus 5.5, Vandy minus 2.5, Duke minus 1.5, Auburn plus 1.5, Ohio State minus 25.5, Indiana minus 26.5, SMU plus 9.5, Texas A&M minus 7.5, Memphis minus 21, Mississippi State plus 9.5, Oregon minus 17.5, Virginia minus 17.5, Pitt minus 10.5, Stanford plus 18. With that said, go and check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. You can get all of these different stat sheets over there. Also, very cool comparison tool that I have created over there. I feel good about it. Had some help from Kyle Hunter with the stats that are most important to college football bettors. So give it a look. Let me know what you think about it. I love to hear feedback. Also, jump in the comments. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. You guys know all those things. So go ahead and knock it out for me. Also, leave a nice 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever. I would certainly love to hear from you on that as well. I think that's going to wrap it up. My goodness, we have covered 45 games this week. 35 games, not 45. 35 games that I've talked about on this channel. We still got Third Dog Thursday coming. Good gracious. All right, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Subscribe, leave a review or comment, follow @GaryWCE on X, and check out the web store,